You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, welcome in. Minor Talk is live. We're presented by Jack in the Box. I'm Adrian Broaddus. He's Sal Montes. We are back after UTEP wins the championship round of the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational. A close game against Yale, 75-74. You want to talk about it with us? Let's do it. 915-505-6009. Alberto Reta, Zay Galindo, they'll be joining us here on the show. They stuck around for the award ceremony here after the game. For UTEP taking it home, winning the tournament for back-to-back years, consecutive years for the first time since they did so three times in a row from 2012 through 2014. And Sal, you know, when they were going into this game, I didn't realize the Miners had only won two of the last eight Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational Championships. So when you look at Joe Golding's record in these championship games, he went into this game here tonight 1-2. They lost to Bradley, lost to Kent State in the first two seasons. Last year, they beat Wyoming, and this year, they beat a Yale team. And I think Yale was probably better than that Bradley team or Kent State was. Zay was arguing maybe Kent State was better. But regardless, this Yale team could end up being an NCAA team when it's all said and done, albeit they had one of their best players in this game. It was Simmons, I believe. Yeah, Casey Simmons, who ended up leaving and exiting this one, returned to the bench with crutches. Yeah. So he was injured in this one, didn't play. And nonetheless, the Miners squeezed out a victory tonight.
Yeah, and they were able to take advantage of that, you know, early on, at least when it happened in the second half. I mean, adjustments are made, and they have an amazing coach over there, and that's an amazing team. I'm just going to flat out say it. I know their record now as it stands is 6-6, but Yale's played some quality opponents. I'm just going to reel off some of the losses. Illinois, Chicago, we talked about this yesterday. Purdue, who's ranked, Minnesota, Rhode Island. I think Rhode Island or Delaware. I know they've played them both, but one of them only has one loss, and that being, Rhode Island. But nonetheless, with all that being said, Yale is a battle-tested team, so this was a nice win. As far as who's better between the two, I don't know. I would love to see them both go at it, that's for sure. So, today, a good win for the Miners, but a lot that they have to brush up on.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I think there's things that you look at right away. I mean, closing out games, being better in second half situations, those are things right off the bat that need to be better for UTEP moving forward. Our telephone number here on the program, 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and 600ESPNElPaso.com. A lot of tweets to get to today. Thoughts on the crowd? I mean, some fans were saying that there should have been way more fans in attendance in the stands for UTEP for a championship game. I'm one of those people right there. I think UTEP should have had way more people in the stands for a championship matchup, knowing this one had, you know, a lot on the line, knowing that the Miners are trying to win consecutive titles for this one. But Sal, you on the outside looking in, what'd you think of the crowd? Was it loud off the radio broadcast? Did you feel like they did a good job of making a difference? I'm talking about the crowd specifically.
Yeah, just looking at it, because I saw some of it, but of course, my primary thing is listening to it over here and running it. But I would say that they filled in nicely when the time came. You got to hear the defense chants, you know, when the time came. Also, too, one of the biggest parts that the crowd got crazy was when I can't remember who hit it, but someone hit a three, UTEP gets a steal, and then Frazier hits the three. So it's a three, forced turnover, three, and then a Yale call timeout. But the crowd was into it at that point. And that's when it was noticeable. But just looking at it right here, 5,300, who knows if that's really what it was.
I think it was. Yeah. I think that felt justified. And I felt like, you know, as far as the crowd goes and the crowd size, it felt louder down the stretch. The Miners really stepped up and had a lot of people, you know, or I would say the crowd stepped up and had people really get engaged with it. Zay, I'll ask you. You were there. You were courtside. Did you feel like it was a good crowd tonight?
Well, you know, I it was definitely underwhelming. I would have expected 6,000 for this game, and it was definitely disappointing. And I will say to start, it was really quiet. It was about the same crowd as yesterday, it felt. And then once the game got really intense, then you kind of felt everybody get a little bit louder, get a little bit more, you know, into the game, more intimate feeling. So overall, I'd rate the crowd like a C+. You know, they were pretty boring throughout the whole game. It was really small, but when they did need it to come through, they did. So,
well, I'll ask you, Alberto, maybe they'll need the La Tech game or the Sam Houston game, or like I'm really thinking it'll be the New Mexico State game when fans will start to show up for these UTEP basketball games.
Yeah, you hope it's sooner rather than later, because I think they're playing some great basketball. They're not winning the turnover, the rebounding battle, yeah, whatever. But they're shooting some lights-out basketball. They're shooting great from the three, and it's an entertaining game team. So I'd like to encourage the city to come out and watch these guys. But I feel like it falls on deaf ears. Today should have been a great game. It should have been closer to 10,000, in my opinion, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I think that they could have had a better crowd. I get it. It's a holiday. It's like it's the same thing that we talked about yesterday. Holiday times, people in town, people out of town. It just kind of throws different things off. I would just say from the people who are doing different things in this city of El Paso, you would hope that they would have gotten a better walk-up crowd. Just wasn't the case when it was all said and done. So let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Let's start it off with Twitter and X. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. This is coming in from Leo_MinersFan. It's great to see Kalu playing strong and confident after all this time. I don't know what's happened, but it's like he's flipped a switch on. Hopefully he can continue to get even better as the season goes on. This is coming in from 915 Sun City Caper. Should have been better, talking about the crowd. He said, I brought a neighbor. Everyone needs to bring a friend and fill up the Don Haskins Center. This is coming from Chris. Looks like the crowd entered the transfer portal. Ugh. Jaden Daniels' season at Commanders 36. UTEP will never fill up that arena. UTEP needs to just advertise their tickets all for $9.15 and people will go. Until then, I just buy general admission and then go sit in the middle with all the other empty seats. This is coming in from Pinky. This game reminds me of the Sun Bowl basketball tournament of the 80s. Overtimes and down to the last shot. Great job, Sun Bowl basketball committee. Hashtag Miner Talk. I agree. I thought it was a good, you know, as far as the late game situation, they did it right. I mean, it was an entertaining game, and there's a lot to take away from it when it was all said and done. This is coming from Poncho. There wasn't that many people, but we were loud. I'd say by the end, it was loud. I agree. This is a depressed UTEP fan. This is ridiculous, by the way. Does the team need to be undefeated for the people to show up? Sal, this team is 9-3 right now as it stands.
I mean, they still got to keep on winning.
True.
You know, they have to. The fans are going to go there. We've seen it. I mean, the Haskins Center was sold out for women's basketball. I mean, do we not forget that part?
That's very true.
You know, they've been sold out for regular season games as well, even in Conference USA or at least close to it. So, I mean, they can do it. It's not impossible, but they do have to keep on winning. It's barely December, you know, middle or, you know, kind of that last leg of December, so to speak. It's going to sound crazy, but those first three conference games at home are pivotal. If they can win those, then we'll see a lot more people go. But that's just the way it is, man. There's going to be diehards who are out there, and that's a lot of you 5K who are there. But El Paso, just like every other city, you know, there's going to be a lot of bandwagon fans. But those are the fans that you want to win over. We've seen the Sun Bowl sell out with football. I mean, come on. If basketball starts winning more, they can do it.
Yeah, I think people will point that out too. Is that, you know, if this fan base, if El Paso will support a football program where you haven't seen a lot of success, how come it's hard for them to jump on board for basketball, in which they had success, or at least they had a taste of success going all the way to the, you know, championship game of the Conference USA tournament last year. So yeah, there's a lot of ways to take this one. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. The Miners squeeze out a game when it was all said and done and defeat Yale 75-74. We'll get takeaways from all of us. We'll kind of go a wrap around between all of us and talk about this one at full length here on the program. Let's go to the phones right now. 915-505-6009. Brian's going to get things started for us on a quiet night here when it comes to minor talk. We've got a couple tweets to get to as well. 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter next. Brian, give us your thoughts. Welcome aboard.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm back again for day two, and UTEP gets it done in a closer with Yale. But the whole team is looking good. Look, I know I say this on every call, Adrian, but I think they got it this year. One name I want to point out is Kevin Kalu, who is going back-to-back with double-digit points in both games against Texas State and Yale. He's one name I really want to see do good, along with my favorite player, Ahmad Bynum. But still, this UTEP squad is doing great, albeit they do need to sell out the Don, because the last game I was at, it was empty. And like Sal said, unless they're undefeated, then they're probably not going to sell out. But I want to see how they do in conference play, because those games are going to be fun.
Well, I would say, Brian, when it comes to those early conference games, you can't take this team for granted. You can't snooze on UTEP basketball. La Tech, they're coming to town Thursday, January 2nd. Sam Houston, that's Saturday, January 4th. Then you have the New Mexico State game, January 11th. Those are all big ones. So the Don Haskins Center fans, they can't snooze on this one. This has to be, you know, some games where fans jump on board for a team that's 9-3. You know, you talk about undefeated. That's just unrealistic here. But when you talk about UTEP possibly, you know, having more fans for some of these bigger games in CUSA, I think that's attainable. This is coming in from our pal Mauricio of NBC4. He said Harvard on the border beats Yale. Good stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Hey, real quick, Adrian, before we move on, let's kind of paint that picture for what a sellout or a high capacity.
Yeah, game. That's a good call.
Let's just do it right now. Northern New Mexico, I mean, come on. We don't
Not
really
going to happen.
La Tech, that's going to be huge. Sam Houston, but January 11th, New Mexico State. If UTEP can reel off three straight, or maybe even go a 2-3, obviously, in there. But, man, if they can get some of those games, La Tech or Sam Houston going into New Mexico State, realistically, could be looking anywhere from like maybe 7.5 to 9.
There should be, at least from the crowd from Las Cruces, man.
Exactly.
I feel like at least Aggie fans should make it close to that count. So, yes, I think I'm targeting that game January 11th against New Mexico State. If it's not that game, it's going to probably be all the way. You're going to probably look at, I don't know, Liberty at home Saturday, February 15th, or maybe Thursday, February 27th against Western Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be a while until UTEP will have a chance to have that much hype over a home game than what we're talking about with La Tech and then also New Mexico State. So this minor team has won 6 of their last 7, Zay. I mean, don't take this team for granted. One day UTEP fans might wake up and Joe Golden could be gone. I mean, that's just, you know, if this team has success, who knows what happens with anybody. I mean, that's just a reality of college sports, college basketball, and you can't take a team like this for granted. I know some might roll their eyes and say, oh, Yale isn't that good. They lost one of their players. And there are people who still aren't satisfied up to this point, Zay. But I'd say to others that this team is doing what, you know, they're promising, and that is winning these games. They're 9-3 right now.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody, we're talking about targeting the NMSU game for a sellout. I mean, you should be targeting the La Tech game for a sellout, like Sam Houston State for a sellout. And Joe Golding said it. I mean, he said the New Mexico State game cannot be the only game that we're packing out the Don. He said that in his presser, and he meant it. Like, he wants to see a crowd here. And like you said, you can't take anybody for granted these days in college basketball, not just head coach Joe Golding. You can't take Ahmad Bynum for granted,
True.
David Terrell for granted. I keep going listing players. Nothing is guaranteed in college basketball, especially at the Group of Five levels. So when you have a team as fun as this minor team, go out there and support, reel it all in, and hey, maybe at the end of the day this team, you know, falls flat on their face in conference play, but hey, at least you experience some fun something, because UTEP fans deserve that. They deserve wins like this, to enjoy wins like this, to not have haters talking about, oh, yell this, yell that. Enjoy the win, enjoy the championship, and pack out the Don.
Who's UTEP's best win of the season so far, Zay? If you had to answer that one, is it UC Santa Barbara? Is it UNC Greensboro? Is it Seattle, or is it Yale up to this point right now?
Yeah, I mean, you can go a lot of different ways. For me, I'd still say Santa Barbara. Yeah, I mean, it was on the road. It was a really, really tough environment. They had a good crowd there, and I know UCSB isn't as good as we thought they were, but to steal a road game like that after falling flat on your face against Utah Valley, I think that's the biggest win. Because if they lose that game, this whole season is like completely flipped. Like, we're talking about a really, really rough looking UTEP team at this point.
Sal, would you agree?
It's up there. It's. I think it's one of them for sure. I think it's one of the better teams they've played. It's just the fact that they're at home. I don't know if it takes it away. You want to win these games either way. Coach Golden said something in his pregame interview. This is regarding the Jackson State game. It's like, hey, I mean, how can you not appreciate an ugly win or something along the lines of it? So you'll take it. Although today was ugly against Yale, I mean, some of the guys they have, man, they can absolutely ball. And Simmons went out early. So I don't know if that – I don't want to say tarnish it because, like I said, I hate to disrespect the win, but man, you know what? I can't just based off of that. I'm going to go Santa Barbara as well.
Okay, yeah. I like it. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009 as we continue. Santa Barbara, they're 7-4 right now. The Gauchos out of the Big West. So to your point, probably the better record that you're going to find of those wins that UTEP had on their side. UNC Greensboro is still a pretty solid win. And then I'd say tonight, Yale, a team who could also very well be in the NCAA tournament when it's all said and done. So let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. UTEP wins 75-74. In this one, Otis Frazier III, 15 points. He was the tournament MVP. No surprise right there. We talked about this yesterday, kind of our thoughts on this. All-tournament team Kevin Kalu gets awarded for that. And then Ahmad Bynum wins the Don Haskins Award. So these are guys right there who are having success. I love the play by Otis Frazier III. I'll say that Otis Frazier III has played pretty well over the last couple games. And I get it. Some of these games aren't pretty. But I feel like when they're not pretty, Otis Frazier III really steps up and he can help win these grinded out type of games. That was like how they won against Tarleton State, just like how they won last night against Jackson State. And then you talk about maybe like 2-3 weeks ago against Seattle, he also balled out. So Otis Frazier III, let me just reel off his last four games for you. Okay, 18 points against Seattle. Against Louisville, he only scored 7. But then against Tarleton State, 18. Last night, 16. And then tonight, 15 points. So Otis Frazier III on a tear in terms of scoring the basketball right now. 915-505-6009. Back to the phone lines we go. It's Ruben who is next up with us on the phone lines. 915-505-6009. Then we'll get to Mike from Austin. But Ruben, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. Hey, my brother and I were talking about what a cool idea. If you got 5,000 and you know that it's the beginning of the season. 5,000 is going to come in. If we put it in Memorial Gym, it's going to rock the house. And it's going to create excitement. And then it's going to go, oh, man, we got to go. We got to go. And then you go to the Don and you fill it up and you get everybody pumped up. Another thing is that I have to tell my friends when the games are because there's no advertising whatsoever. And unless you're in there poking at the UTEP website to see when the next game is, you don't know. There's no advertising. And, you know, that's something that it's an El Paso thing. And we know that people aren't going to go to the games until UTEP has a winning season and everybody sees the excitement and then they'll want to go.
Real quick, just to say the Memorial Gym idea isn't a terrible idea. I think they should at least do a one-off, or at least for this tournament or something like that, do some special games over there. But keep going. I'm sorry, Ruben. Go ahead.
We could feel like it felt like in '66, man. It would create excitement. Let's put one or two games beginning of the season in Memorial Gym. That would be amazing. Anyway, take care, guys.
Good stuff, Ruben. I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Mike is back with us from Austin. We haven't heard from him in a while, but it's great to hear from you, Mike. Good evening, man. What's going on?
Gentlemen, Merry Early Christmas to you all, and a happy and prosperous and safe New Year.
Wow. Thank you very much, my man. It's great to hear from you, Mike. I hope you have a great holiday season with you and your family, and great New Year. It's good to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. What I will say, I only caught the tail end of the broadcast with Dice. And, one thing that did stand out, I know that you all were talking about, and I'm paraphrasing what you all were saying, something about that some people might be critical of, well, we barely pulled off the win against Yale and so on and so forth, and they lost their number one scorer. But their bench donated 45 points. I mean, usually if your bench can, and I think that's what Teich said, 42, 45 points. If your bench normally does that, then you're probably going to win the game. And especially with how horrific our rebounding has been. So, I mean, that's just one take that I have. I may be off, but I think that 45-point contribution from your bench, even if your star player is out, I mean, because that star player is not going to shoot 45 points. So, I mean, that's just my take. I'm going to be more engaged now that the season is starting to get underway, but that's what I have.
Good stuff, Mike. I appreciate it, man. Good to hear from you. I'll say this. Yes, you were correct about the bench points. 45 bench points right there from Yale. And you're right. You know, the second half in particular, that's when they shot lights out from beyond the arc. 6 of 13, 46% from beyond the arc. It felt like they were hitting three-pointers when it really mattered in the second half. And for the Miners, they had a great first half of three-point scoring, 8 of 9. That's exceptionally well. Second half, not good. 37%. They were 3 of 8 from beyond the arc in the second half, so didn't necessarily make those second half three-pointers like they had hoped to, but yet they still hung on and won the game. So I like the way that they started this one. The first half was solid. The turnovers are going to drive you crazy. That's where you're going to say UTEP is not taking steps forward and advancing at times, yet I still like UTEP for what they've done in their totality this season. And I think they can improve. I like the ability, or I like the room for improvement for this team so far. Because, yes, the naysayers are the people who say, oh, no, like this team still hasn't played anybody well, and they still haven't had a quality game where start to finish they have success. I'll say this. There's still room for improvement, and that bodes well for UTEP. They have an identity, guys. I'll say this, Alberto. I feel like I know who this team is going into CUSA play. I don't know if I could have said that last year, and I think that'll mean something for this team moving forward. Again, nothing matters until March when they go to Huntsville, Alabama, and play and compete in the CUSA tournament.
Yeah, I think you definitely know who this team is. I think you know that despite going down or losing leads, they're going to continue to battle, continue to compete in the game. And I think that I really like that. I think that minor teams in years past that I've seen would have shut down after some of the runs that I've seen in these previous games, and their games would have gone south. In this team, it's not the same. That's not happening. So, yeah, I think you definitely have a real grasp on the identity of this team. They like to block. They like to steal the ball. They like to cause turnovers. They like to score off those turnovers. And they have arguably the best three-point shooter in the nation right now.
Yeah, I mean, Ahmad Bynum is still hitting him. So even though he was 0 for 2 in the second half, he finished out the day 2 for 3. Actually, he was 0 for 1 in the second half, but he was 2 for 3 throughout the game. Ahmad Bynum, 11 points tonight. That's why he ended up winning that Don Haskins Award. Back to the phone lines. It's Leon who is next up with us. 915-505-6009. You want to talk about the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational Championship that UTEP won 75-74 over Yale. Let's do it. 915-505-6009. Leon, good evening, man. What's happening?
Hey, good evening, man. Hey, heck of a game. And something I got a hit on or hook on from earlier is it's something to celebrate. The Miners won, and something that Miner fans can celebrate. So good Christmas present with that win tonight. I was especially impressed with Golding's move at the end of the game, throwing it, and I don't want to butcher his name, man.
Baba.
But the seven-footer.
Baba Carr.
Yeah. So they couldn't get the ball in. I don't think they were expecting that, so I got to give Golding a lot of credit. But I think even more importantly, man, these are those type of games that I don't think that the Miners would have really pulled off or gotten done, you know, in the past. And it's kind of nice to see them going in to conference play, at least on a high note for thus far. You know, there was a little tiff-taff, I think, early in the first half. I don't know if there was something going on with the team, and it looks like they got that together and really brought it together in the end, like you say. But, hey, let's take advantage of this great win as Miner fans. And congratulations to Coach Golding and his team. They played hard, and they deserved it. And hey guys, I wish you a very Merry Christmas. I just thought it was cool that Goldie made that move at the end.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Leon. Thanks for bringing that one up. I love what we've seen from Babacar over the last 2 days. And Zay, the Babacar stock is starting to grow, my friend. He played again tonight in the closing minutes. And you know what? Somebody said on Twitter and X, they were like, hey, was that a foul? You know, at the end, I was like, are you kidding me? Go rewatch it. They collided, the offensive player for Yale, at the very last second for that final sequence for the last bucket. He fumbled the ball. Like, he didn't even have possession of the ball. There's no foul to call right there.
Yeah, I don't think that was a foul at all. He didn't even have the ball in his hand. And what can I say? I'm just a mastermind when it comes to drafting. You know, I knew how this would shape out. But, you know, to be honest, it takes some courage to put out, you know, a 7'1" freshman in the final seconds of perhaps, you know, the biggest game of the season so far. And Joe Golding, you know, he rolled the dice, he went with it, and it worked out perfectly, right? He affected the pass. It goes loose. It still ends up in a Yale, you know, player's hand, but hey, I mean, that worked out, and Baba goes straight up, no foul. He's been playing some good minutes, and I know he didn't play much this game, but he came in when it mattered. He did his job, and that's all you can ask for, right? I hope, you know, down the stretch we see more of him. We saw some KJ Thomas, you know, freshman. Yeah, extended minutes. He was playing, you know, after the final media timeout. Like, he played real minutes, hit two really big free throws. You gotta like what you see out of UTEP's young guys. And, you know, David Terrell, we talk about him so much, we forget he's barely a sophomore, right? He is a young guy as well. So a lot of young talent on this team showing up big.
And real quick, guys, on that substitution for Babacar, that was actually Coach Boykins. He was running the defense.
Nice.
You know, near the end. I think he put him in for a sequence, and he tried to sub him out, but you couldn't do a sub out on something about a live ball, something along the lines of that. Like, you can't somebody out if there's no live play or no dead ball, whatever. So he had to stay in the game for that extra possession, but Boykins was defensive coordinator, you know, when it all mattered the most. But to Coach Golding's credit, like, this is a guy who not only believes in his players but also believes in his staff as well. So that's a true UTEP thing, man. I mean, these guys are on the floor, you know, giving it their all, and then the coaches are on the side, you know, giving it their all as well. Everybody was bought in, so that's what made it awesome.
Some closing moments I wanted to talk about from this game, and you guys jump in when it comes to the final moments of this one, because the final moments I felt like told you a lot about both teams and what ended up happening. So let's jump into it. At 4 minutes left in the game, Otis Frazier had the most casual step back three to lift UTEP up 71-69. At this point, Yale had a brief lead, 69-68, and then Frazier the third hit a three to go up by two. Then KJ Thomas, just like what Zay said, hit two a pair of clutch free throws. Miners were up 75-71. This was with 2:17 left, and that was the last bucket UTEP scored. Let me just say that, by the way. So if you would have told me at this point how back and forth this game was, if you would have said, okay, those are the UTEP's last points that they were going to score, I say they lose, because there was so much going on in the last 2:17, and they didn't score. UTEP did not score again after that. So the two KJ Thomas free throws, to Zay's point, they were the most important points, because they ended up putting UTEP over the top and winning them the game. He needed to make those free throws, or else they wouldn't have won it, or this game could have gone to overtime. But the crowd got into it. It was 75-71, under 2 minutes left. There were a couple great defensive plays there. One was like an Otis Frazier the third swat out of bounds that ended up staying with Yale. Yale got a put back on that same possession. It was like one that just shouldn't have happened for Yale. But anyways, Miners got the ball. They had it with about, you know, maybe like 30 seconds. They didn't run a great play. Ball out of bounds. Miners had the possessions. 5 seconds left on the shot clock. Timeout at this point. It was 75-74 here with 19 seconds left. Here at this point right here, I was a little worried because I figured UTEP could get a good look, and then maybe Yale could get a chance to win it if they had a good look on their side. So Miners get the ball out of the turn, or you know, out of the inbound, and it was a turnover, traveling call by David Terrell Jr. So then Yale goes down quickly, but it was a block shot for UTEP. It was credited to Baba on that one for the block, and UTEP ended up just hanging on. Actually, Otis Frazier III had a huge monster block on his side as well. That one was what set that sent Yale to inbound it down low with just 2 seconds left, and then they closed out the game. But Zay, that was just some monster defensive effort, knowing that UTEP did not score with the last 2 minutes of this game.
Yeah, I mean, they really stepped up defensively, and Otis Frazier, he's just really good, man. That's the way I like to describe him, because that's the only words that come to mind. He's really good. He's probably one of the best, if not the best, two-way player in Conference USA, and he showcased that tonight, right? How many points did he have? He had, he had 15 points. He hit that huge step back three. I mean, that one was huge. It was a tough shot as well, and he has the big block at the end, and that block was loud. Like, I heard that. I was on the other side, and I heard that, and I was like, wow, like, he's just, you can't take a guy like that for granted. He came up so big, and he's become a leader on the court. Like, you could tell him, David Terrell, like, those two have really stepped up in the leadership roles. So overall, like, Otis Frazier, I heard some people saying, maybe Kalu could have that MVP, but nah, man. I mean, Otis Frazier was the most valuable player on the court tonight.
Yeah, and with 5 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals, Sal, he was active. He was all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at the numbers and see how effective he was, but if you really watch the game, not only do you see it, but you notice it anytime he's on the floor and doesn't even have the ball. I mean, this is a guy who's commanding, respect when he's out there. People know when he's out there on the floor, you got to respect his presence. So Frazier's just been a ball hawk. He's made plays when need be. And, he's the big man on campus right now for UTEP. Literally, he can do it all. So that's what you need. And if Otis Frazier is at his best, like he is tonight, it opens so many doors for his teammates. And, he can put the team on his back.
Yeah. I agree completely. Before we get to Tom, a couple tweets to get to. King Eric, wow, that was exciting. Otis in those last few seconds really put the clamps down and asserted dominance. Free throws and rebounding always have to be better, but good win overall. Ice Cubillos, like my high school girlfriend, it wasn't pretty and really stressful at the end. Just happy to take the win before the break. Mullen on Yale was the biggest winner this side of Danny Ainge. Frazier is a monster lately. Hope it continues into conference play. Good job, Caesar. This is from Leo, _ Miners fan. I just wanted to give Kalu a shout out. I've been rooting for him since he got here to have success, and he's finally finding some. Didn't he start playing basketball late, like in high school? You all have a good night. It's true. He was a late bloomer. That's right. I believe Zay, he was just like a high school varsity basketball player. Never really played middle school or anything like that.
Yeah, I think so. And you could tell throughout his years that he was a guy that he just needed to play more basketball. Like, he reminds me a lot of Elijah Jones now. Like, you just want to see him get minutes, and that's exactly what he's done, right? He's been a 4-year, almost a 3-year starter at this point. He's played for 4 years, and it looks like it's finally coming all together, right? Another double-digit scoring game. He's a lot physical, a lot more confident on the court, so for years, my biggest issue with UTEP is, where's their big man? Well, I think they finally have it, and I think they have a really good one in Kevin Kalu.
Yeah, and Kalu is showing also that he is having success when it comes to just getting buckets too. I mean, back-to-back double-figure scoring efforts from Kalu. That's the first time in his entire career. We talked about it yesterday. His first double-double yesterday of his entire career. And tonight, he also flirted with one as well. So he almost got to another double-double tonight. Back to the phones. It's Tom next here up with us. 915-505-6009. Tom, good evening. What's going on?
Good evening. Yeah, great game. And the Miners are doing well, and I'm really, really happy for Coach Golding. I think he's got himself in good position going into conference play here.
I think so, too.
What's that?
I said I think so, too. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Obviously, the rebounding is the biggest concern. I think this team has obviously, we're not a big team. There's some big players like Hamilton and so forth, but really we have to rely on Kalu. If he gets in foul trouble, then we're definitely in trouble. But the way I see this team is their advantages, or they're similar to the recent Houston teams that have been kind of undersized but incredibly quick and fast and good shooting. And I think that's kind of the formula that coach should continue to pursue with a style of play with the talent that we put on the floor, because this team steals a lot of balls, and that makes up for the lack of rebounding, and that's what's going on. So if they get the rebounding together and they start competing heavily on the boards and they continue to steal as many passes as they do, they're going to really set themselves up to pick off some big wins this year. Couple things. The team, I noticed the team really likes playing for Coach Golding. I think it really shows, and it's starting to come through, and that's going to pay dividends. And then the other thing is they seem to rely on each other really well, and there's not anybody that's a clear leader. I think Frazier is kind of taking that spot, but it's still kind of up for grabs because you got a lot of aggressive players that really do have a lot of confidence and shoot the ball. And which is good, because there's a lot of balance I see on the team that way. So we'll see how that goes. I think I'd love to see Coach Golding start the show. Maybe he'll wait until conference play. But I'd like to see probably a 3-2 zone, and with Hamilton and Kalu in at the same time, and see if we can use the team speed with the three smaller players really covering the three-point line.
That's interesting.
And then also the fast break.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. I haven't ever seen Joe Golding teams run zone, but I'm not saying that it shouldn't be the case, especially against bigger teams. You know, Tom, I think they should be more willing to do or just explore different ideas like that. They have such an identity, a deeply rooted identity when it comes to their defense, that the helper type of defense that they do, so aggressive, where they hedge on ball screens, where, you know, they're leaving sometimes a little bit of exposure for backdoor passes and stuff like that. We saw some of those tonight. Yale started to expose UTEP early for some of those tonight. But nonetheless, I think for the Miners, I feel like for this squad, for what they're trying to do, their identity is hitting right now for that, is at least for what we're seeing defensively. I could definitely see them running some kind of things like that, or just mixing it up down the line, knowing that they have some size disadvantages in these games.
Yeah, I mean, they could run something like a triangle and two, where you got a team that has two really good players, and just play them shirt to shirt, and let the other three guys kind of linger in the lane, either in like two players kind of near the foul line, and one player in the paint, right where the little arc is, where the offensive foul arc is, whatever you call that thing. But he's a good coach. He'll figure that out. He's extracting the talent the best that he can. But they do seem to get a little bit wild and a little bit out of control. And, you know, it's funny, they played Billy Gillespie's team the other night. And I was a big fan of Billy Gillespie when he was here, because I used to see Billy Gillespie's teams put up 25, 28, 32 assists in a game. That's scoring off the pass. And you'll know when this team goes to the next level when they score off the pass. That means they're manipulating the other team's defense.
Yeah.
So we'll see where they go from here. If they keep this red hot shooting going on, that's great. But you don't want to rely on the threes. But they are. It's almost like they got six guys on the floor playing defense. They're so quick, and they steal the ball and they get their hands on so many balls. So it's an exciting time. I think they're gonna do well in conference.
Well, Tom, you're a pretty educated UTEP basketball fan. You've called this show plenty of times, and I know that you know what you're talking about when it comes to UTEP basketball. So appreciate your phone call. Appreciate your thoughts. I like the comments about switching it up defensively a little bit. I know that sometimes they're all over the place. I know that sometimes they're not going to have that cohesion that you want from them. And I guess that's the part of them being this kind of, you know, it's high risk, high reward at times defensively. I do agree. Sometimes it feels like there's 10 guys, not just five, there's 10 guys out there. This team, UTEP, seems like they are really frustrating to go up against if you're the opposition. Like, you know, this defense is really stifling at times. And that's a good thing for this minor team going into December. Sal, I would say a year ago, UTEP, you know, they were in a certain place where I think people had okay expectations, but at the end of December last year, they were 8-6. This time around, at the end of December, after they beat Northern New Mexico next week, they're going to be 10-3. I mean, I think that's pretty relevant, right? I know that people will challenge, okay, what are the quality of wins that UTEP had this year compared to last year? Last year, they beat Cal. Sure. Okay. We'll talk about that one being quality. They also beat Wyoming last year. This year, they beat UC Santa Barbara, UNC Greensboro, Seattle, and Yale. So those are the quote-unquote quality wins. But the Miners could be 10-3 when it's all said and done to close out 2024 going into 25.
Yeah, and you want to be as battle-tested as possible going into conference play. And UTEP's not the only team who's had success in their non-conference schedule. I'm just going to reel off a couple, but I'll start it off by saying every team but one team is 500 or better, and that one team who's under wound up winning today. So with all that being said, though, Liberty's 12-1, La Tech 11-2, Middle, just like UTEP, and Western Kentucky, they're 9-3 as well. So those are your top five, so you know, so to speak, for Conference USA. But yeah, I mean, going into conference play, this team is record-wise a lot better than last year, but we all know it's all about how you play in conference play. So the tune-up, the last one's coming up next Saturday, but what can you really take from it? I think you take more from it today. However, conference play is going to be crucial. So yeah, play your best ball going into it, and then at the end of conference play, of course, you got to play even better. So
I'm with you on that completely there, Sal. Let's get back to Twitter and X. Tristan Pence tweeting the program: this game was made much closer because of poor free throw shooting. The Miners missed four front end ones and ones with their fall. The Miners are potentially a top three team in CUSA. UTEP fans need to show up for these first three league games. Merry Christmas, guys. Hashtag Miner Talk. Merry Christmas to you and your family, Tristan. Appreciate you, man. This is from Augustine. Frazier is still underperforming. He has so much potential, has all the necessary tools to be an incredible player. Why isn't he more aggressive? Oh, Augustine. You're hilarious. I don't think we're even addressing that one. Joe Chacone, 10 wins before January. Last year, we had 18 total. That includes a 3 during the conference tournament. UTEP men's basketball could easily be an at-large if they continue to put up the wins. Yep, I said it. Oh, come on, Joe Chacone. Let's hose you down. Man. We're going to say no way. We're like that Otis Frazier III block today. I'm blocking that one right
there.
And
you know what?
That's me.
It's not that people don't believe in the team. It's that the committee does not believe in Conference USA.
There you go. Thank you, Sal.
Having more than one team. Every single team in Conference USA, I don't know how the hell this would happen, but maybe you could cause a glitch in the schedule. Every team could go undefeated from here on out, and this committee will be like, nah, let's still select one. We got to get 10 SEC teams. We got to get 30 Big 12 teams, whatever the case is. So, nah, come on, man.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. No chance at all. This is Cesar Cubillos. I was surprised at the intentional foul called in the first half, along with the technical on Yale after their shooter cried for a foul after missing a terrible three-point attempt. Both wound up helping UTEP in the long run. I'll say this, man. That was a flop. They called it on a flop. So, I thought that was funny that they called it. I feel like UTEP always gets the bad end of the flop call, so I'm happy that tonight they weren't the ones who got the flop call. It was the other team getting the flop call against them, so I like it. NM State sports fan tweets in this. This is the new norm of college basketball games. Games on television are killing attendance. However, I'm not sure if this game was televised. Yes, it was. It was indeed. In fact, it was accessible to everybody via YouTube. So yeah, man, appreciate that. But guys, as we kind of wind down the show and kind of look at some of the standouts from this one, Sal, you know, we were talking about it. I think we have to make our Win Supply El Paso hot hand of the game. The winner of this one has to be from the past two games for the tournament. So if that's the case, where are we going for hot hand?
Hot hand, you know what? I think we got to continue with it. None other than number 12 himself, Ahmad Bynum. He starts out hot. He finishes with 11 points on the day. But in a game where the Miners weren't that amazing, but they definitely needed all they could get from the charity stripe, he's unblemished at 3-3. So or 3-for-3 rather. He gets a board. Also gets an assist to his credit. But hot hands as well. Taking care of the ball, no turnovers. Probably my favorite stat from a guy who's really effective when he has the ball. So Ahmad Bynum, give me that guy.
I love it. Ahmad Bynum, by the way, 11 three-pointers made over the last four games. That's crazy numbers right there. Ahmad Bynum tonight, he is 2-of-3 from beyond the arc. He finished with 11 points in this one, 3-for-3 from the free throw line, and assist as well. Ahmad Bynum, through two nights, he's hit 5 three-pointers. He was 5-of-8 from beyond the arc. Exceptional. And as far as exceptional, he still is the nation-leading three-point percentage shooter right now, 62% from beyond the arc, 24 of 39. Zay, when is he going to cool down? Is it 2025?
I hope not. It's crazy. Just seeing him shoot it, you're like no way it's going in. Boom, it goes in. It looks so satisfying. And can I just say something? Because I see this a lot on Twitter. You know, people want to see Ahmad Bynum start, but I like his role off the bench. I think I like it a lot. I think it fits him really well. You know, I feel like if Ahmad Bynum, he should be taking about three to four threes a game, right? He's going to hit about 2 to 3 of them. I feel like if he starts taking a little bit more, I can't doubt him and say he won't make them, but like, I like where his volume is at. I like his usage, and I think, you know, maybe down the stretch, you know, in conference play, maybe he'll earn a starting spot there. But for right now, I like him coming off the bench. He provides that spark that UTEP has so, like, they've missed the past couple of years.
Yeah.
I just like his role right now.
Yeah, I feel like going back, this is actually going back to something that Tom said. Real quick, let me get your thoughts, Alberto, on Ahmad Bynum in terms of his game the past 2 days.
No, he's really been turning it on. And like Zay said, I kind of wish he'd been chucking it up a little more. It feels like three isn't enough, right? He shot 2-of-3 today. You kind of wish he'd shoot somewhere closer to nine threes a game. And personally, that's how many I wish he'd put up and then just let the chips fall where they may. So, yeah, I really liked him. And no one's mentioned Devin Barnes, or I haven't really heard him. I kind of would have wished he would have gotten hot hand. He hits 4 three-pointers today out of 7. So, hats off to him. The Miners have a decent amount of three-point shooters.
Yeah, they do. I mean, actually, they have depth. They have depth, and they have multiple guys who can hit three-pointers right now. Hey, stay on schedule with Wind Supply El Paso. They are the Hot Hand Award supplier here with us on Miner Talk. And speaking of suppliers, check out their champion dealers on their Find a Dealer tab. You can see certified champion elite dealers across town and see the preferred champion dealers that Wind Supply El Paso has. Click the Find a Dealer tab at WindSupplyElPaso.com. That's our Hot Hand Award. Before we get to player of the game, going back to something that Tom said, guys, he was saying, you know, I'm still looking for who's the alpha, or he was saying something along the lines of that, like who's the go-to guy, who's like the player. Sal, I like the fact that I think I can reel off a couple players, right?
Okay.
Corey Camper, David Terrell Jr., Devin Barnes, Otis Frazier III, Kevin Kalu, and Ahmad Bynum. I think all six of those guys look at the mirror at the end of the day and says, I am the guy. I am the best player on this team. And whether or not that is true, I don't care. I think what it does for this team is it gives them multiple option and multiple like alpha dogs in this, you know, in this role. Your thoughts on that? Could six guys believe themselves, I am the best player on this team? And could that actually be a good thing?
Could they? I think so, but is it a good thing? I don't think so. And the reason why is you got to know your role. You got to know your space. Because if, and I know I drafted him on my team, but let's say Kalu, right? He has to be the go-to guy. Do you really want him to have the ball with the last possession? Is he going to drive it in? Or who's going to get the ball to him? What do you want? Do you want him to drive it in himself or, you know, kind of post up and get someone get him the ball? So that alone, I don't agree with. But I would say maybe three out of out of those names I would trust the most, just based off of what we've seen. Number one, heat check, none other than Ahmad Bynum right away. I mean, if who do you want taking the last shot of the game? Now, let's say there's the last possession of the game, probably go in the way of Frazier. And then as far as the other one goes, just off of what we've seen this year, I'm going to go with Corey Kamper.
Feel like there's just a lot of guys. There's multiple options. Zay, how would you answer that one? I think there's a lot more alphas on this team. Guys themselves, I hear what Sal's saying. Like, for us, trusting certain players in late-game situations, we can have those kind of feelings right there. But at the same time, with these guys individually, I feel like UTEP has guys with confidence who are just going to step up and say, oh, wait, we are the guy. This is my team right now.
Yeah, for me, it's David Terrell. Like, he comes down the court. He runs the offense. He is the point guard. He is the general of this team. And he yells. Like, you can hear him yell. I'm on the court taking photos.
Yes.
Like, he screams at Devon Barnes. Like, he's telling him, like, get here. Like, he's saying not nice things, you know? Like, he owns this team, at least offensively. And he seems like the leader of this team. And maybe I'm biased because he's my favorite player, like, without a doubt, but that's what I see on the court. Like, everybody listens to David Terrell. So for me, I feel like he's the alpha, the leader of this basketball team. And maybe down the stretch, right, they're not going to give it to David Terrell to get a bucket. They're going to say David Terrell hit a three, but they're definitely going to say David Terrell come inbound the ball with three people coming at you and somehow get it to Ahmad Bynum. So for me, it's David Terrell.
Yeah, I feel like they do ask him to do a lot. And you know what? Some people are going to tell you, Zay, they're going to say, hey, look, David Terrell, we like XYZ, but what we don't like is the turnovers this year. That some people will tell you that. And to those people who say things like that, I get what they're saying. You know, over the past tonight, he had three turnovers. Last night, a turnover against Tarleton State, five turnovers. So this week alone, racked up nine turnovers in three games. For David Terrell Jr., he prides himself in his assist to turnover ratio. Tonight, he did actually have a positive in that regard. He had, you know, when it came to this one, four assists to three turnovers, Zay, yet you just want him to limit those turnovers. That's the big thing. He racked up two or three of them early in this game.
Yeah, you know, when the turnover, yeah. You definitely want him to take care of the ball a little bit better. And UTEP as a whole, Joe Golding sent his pressure. They had 10 turnovers in that first half, and they only ended up with 13. So a lot of adjustments made. They know that they need to take care of the ball better. They know David. You know, he had that huge travel at the end of the game.
Yeah, like, that's tough.
You know that he needs to be better than that. And I believe in him to be better than that. So,
yeah.
One, I do hold him accountable. He is a little reckless with the ball at times, but hey, he had four assists. He had that plus one in that turnover to assist ratio. I'll take that.
I think for where our patience in David Terrell Jr. is going to pay off at some point, because I feel pretty similar. Sal, when it comes to Terrell, do you have the same patience?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who garnered, you know, a lot of attention near the end of last year, a guy who's trusted.
Yeah, freshman of the year.
And Zay said it best, he's they know when he's out there, he's commanding that offense. So you got to respect it. There's no way that you could be out on David Terrell because
no.
He had that terrible turnover, you know it, but we're holding a sophomore accountable, you know, for who we think is, you know, playing-wise, like a junior or maybe even a higher-level player at that. So he's one of the better players in Conference USA. And, you know, within that realm of go-to guys on his team. So I know I said three. Terrell's out there hovering on four. You could kind of interchange them, but
yeah.
It all depends on how the game's going. But, no, it's ridiculous to be out on Terrell.
915-505-6009. That's our telephone number, 600-ESPN-El-Paso on Twitter and X, and 600-ESPN-El-Paso.com. UTEP defeats Yale 75-74. We picked our hot hand of the game. Alberto, for the player of the game, or the player of the last two games, where are we going for this one right here? I feel like Otis Frazier III, who ended up winning the tournament MVP, has a good you know, a good say in this one.
I like Otis. I like Otis, and I like what he's done. 15 points today, and he follows that up with also five rebounds. Two blocks and two steals. So I like Otis Frazier and what he does for this team. He, to me, is the leader. And you guys were commenting on it. I think any one of these guys can lead this team on any given night. But in these last couple nights, it's been Otis Frazier.
Yeah, we're going to go Otis Frazier III for the Oscar ID at the Agency Player of the Game Award tonight and from last night as well. Otis Frazier III, big three-pointers tonight. 15 points he finishes this one. Five rebounds, two blocks, two steals, 33 minutes of action. Otis Frazier III, he ends up winning the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational Tournament MVP. And he ends up winning our Player of the Game tonight, brought to you by the Oscar ID at the Agency. So appreciate Otis Frazier III, and appreciate the mayor. It's Eddie Morelos who's next up with us on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. That's our telephone number to get into the program. Eddie, good evening, man. What's going on?
Good evening, Adrian. What a fun weekend we just had there at the Don Haskins Center. From start to finish, we were able to bring in multiple teams from out of town, show them a wonderful hospitality that we give at the Sun Bowl. And I tell you what, man, it was a little stressful there the last few minutes of that last the championship game. But it's so cool to see the Miners hoist up the trophy back-to-back years, the Westar Don Haskins Sun Bowl Invitational, and another great event. Sun Bowl season is upon us, Adrian, and
yes.
I mean, just the whole thing was great, man. I don't know, I mean, it's just awesome, awesome atmosphere.
Okay.
And I hope more people show up the rest of the year for the Miners, because, man, I think they've won 10 games, haven't they?
9-3, Eddie, 9-3. They have
nine
a good record.
9-3, and, you know, the one thing I like about the Sun Bowl tournament, it's a different vibe, right? It's a little different. And it seems just a little bit more relaxed and fun for everyone. But, you know, it gives the Miners, it shows where they're at compared to various teams from, like, the East Coast, right? Against Hale, Akron, so on and so forth every year. And I just encourage the Miner fans to show up, start supporting, man. It was a lot of fun this weekend, Adrian.
Yeah, it really was. It was a fun weekend. Eddie, I'll say this, man. The coolest thing that I ended up seeing from this this weekend, and what you guys did in between, games or in between the actual game itself, or in between halftime, was the dunking event with Dr. Hansen. I love those, man. They did a great job.
And how cool is it that I believe Dr. Hansen is from El Paso, and he brings this squad together and offered to help us out and put on a wonderful show. You know what I mean? It's things like that, the little ads that we throw in here and there at the Sun Bowl Invitational. It's just a fun atmosphere. Again, I encourage more to get out there next year and support the Miners and all the other teams that come in. Let me tell you this, Adrian, really quick, for this is for all El Pasoans, man. These teams come in, right? And the one guy tells me, I can see myself moving here to El Paso. That's how much they enjoy their time when they come to our event.
Man, that's awesome news, Eddie. Hey, I appreciate it, man. That's good stuff. Any other thoughts? Miners get the win by one tonight. What a close one.
Just a final thought again. They can pull it off. They can pull off a lot more wins, especially in the Don, and they can do even more so when more fans show up. Have a great night, Adrian. Much love
good
to
stuff,
you guys.
Man.
Merry Christmas.
Much love, Eddie. Merry Christmas to you, the family, and I appreciate you as always, man. Thanks for all the help and everything that you gave us here on the program here today. So good stuff, man. Appreciate you, Eddie, as we continue. 915-505-6009. Jimmy is next up with us. Jimmy, good evening. What's going on?
Good evening. Thank you, guys. Great show as always. Happy with the win. If you're not going to the games, you're missing out. It's a fun team to watch. Quick question. Wanted to hear your thoughts. A lot of talk on Bynum. I like him. I think he's great leading the nation, as we know, in three-point percentage. 15 minutes tonight. I don't really care if he starts or doesn't start, but does he need more than 15 minutes? He opens up the floor. He's not a single-dimensional player. He also drives to the basket, has a mid-range game. It's hard to believe he's not getting more minutes.
It's a good question. It's a good question, Jimmy, and I feel like it's a pretty educated question. I'll just give you this. So tonight for Ahmad Bynum, you mentioned it. For this one here, I'm just verifying things on my side. I see the same thing. 15 minutes in this one. When it came to Jackson State, you know, he's also coming off the bench as well. So for Ahmad Bynum, do I think he requires more minutes? Yeah, but it's hard to say because defensively, the Miners have so many advantages with other guys. I think Bynum is starting to come along defensively. I think the coaching staff is starting to count on him and trust him defensively. I don't know if he's there yet to, you know, warrant 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Look at who is taking those minutes right now. I would just say that, like, when you're saying, all right, you're going to take away minutes from Ahmad Bynum, or you're going to say, give him more minutes. Well, Corey Camper Jr. is the one who's taken up a lot of these minutes. He had 31 tonight. He struggled offensively. Corey Camper, 2-for-11, but you can't undermine what he does defensively. 3 steals in this one for Corey Camper Jr., despite his 4 turnovers that he racked up early on in this one. It was a little bit of a lackluster performance from Camper Jr., yet you love what he does defensively. Then you talk about David Terrell Jr. He also played 29 minutes. You talk about Devin Barnes, 24 minutes. That's where they're going to stagger those minutes with Ahmad Bynum, is with Barnes, say. They're not going to necessarily cut into anybody else's. It's probably going to be Barnes moving forward, and you talked about this before. Doesn't really matter that he's not in the starting lineup, but maybe some fans want to see him get more minutes when it's all said and done.
Yeah, and I understand why, because, I mean, every time he's on the floor, it feels like he's making a huge, huge difference, but the defense is the biggest part, right? Because down the stretch, I mean, Devon Barnes is not in the game. It was KJ Thomas taking those minutes. It wasn't Ahmad Bynum. It was a true freshman, KJ Thomas, getting in one of those guard spots over Ahmad Bynum. And I mean, I think that just goes to show where Ahmad is defensively and how much trust they have in him.
That's
to
true.
Be in late game situations. So I feel like eventually he'll get there, you know, with more reps, more practice, more stuff like that. He'll be in that late game, you know, lineup. But for now, you could see why, you know, they don't have him and why they have KJ Thomas out there instead. So I feel like, yeah, 1 minute, it's really crowded in that backcourt, but at the same time, I mean, you got to beat out KJ Thomas. So
yeah,
that's rule number one. Before we start talking about Devon Barnes, Corey Camper, David Terrell getting those guys' minutes, get KJ's first.
I agree. Sal, can you punch 2 in? I can't get that one. 915-505-6009. George is coming up next. George, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, happy holidays, guys. Merry Christmas. We got an early Christmas gift. I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun sitting in front of one of our fans that, you know, kind of undermines the whole fan atmosphere when you have one of your own, you know, touting Yale. And I understand they are a good team, but I think this minor team is very underrated. I think they played a lot of good teams. UC Santa Barbara, they went up against Seattle, and even then I also heard overheard one of my fans, you know, our fans, saying how Seattle was this, Seattle was that. Well, I mean, UTEP doesn't fall too far behind. I mean, they've improved in a lot of areas. Their 3-point shooting has improved. I've seen a lot of improvement in their free throw shooting. Kalu has come leaps and bounds from where he was before and to where he is now. In comparison, you see Hamilton come off the bench and give some good minutes.
He did.
You see Kemper. Today he struggled, but, you know, he's one of those that'll give you a good defensive output, you know. And Barnes, Bynum, I love their play. I love what they do beyond the arc. Otis Frazier, you can't say enough about him. You know, he looked amazing. Those 15 points were hard-earned 15 points. You don't take anything away from Yale, but you also don't take anything away from the Miners. This is a really good minor team that's been very well put together, and I think they can make a really good run in conference play and even beyond. I mean, I do believe in them, and they've already bought into Joe Golding's philosophy, and I see that they're a very well-coached team. That's what I see in my perspective, and not just because I'm a minor fan.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, George. Thanks for the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in. Merry Christmas to you and the family, and I appreciate it. I'll say this from what George said, guys. I was really, you know, I liked the fact that George said, talked about some of the bigs. You know, Kevin Kalou did have the strong performance. I mean, yesterday he goes 6-for-6. Tonight, in this one, 5-of-6. So you talk about Kalou through these two games, 11-for-12 for, you know, 22 points. Offensively, that's pretty solid right there. And then, you know, as far as rebounding goes, he grabs 20 rebounds over 2 days for Kevin Kalou. So they got a lot from him. He also contributed with 2 blocks. But then also Derek Hamilton down low chipped in with 4 points. And I thought those were high-quality points. So that was solid stuff for, you know, Derek Hamilton down low. Well, we already gave our player of the games, guys. We already gave our hot hand of the game. So let's wrap it up and let's wind it down with some final thoughts. Miners have Northern New Mexico on deck for next week. That's one that they're going to destroy. They're going to win big time next Saturday, and then they turn the page to La Tech. It's a bit of a break for everybody, so we're all going to get a little holiday break ourselves. Happy holidays to you guys here. Happy holidays to all our listeners as well. We really appreciate everybody hanging with us here on the show, and we know that a lot of people will be listening to us on demand on the podcast channel as well after the fact. But guys, just final thoughts going into this, you know, this little stretch of a break here for UTEP. Sal, we'll start with you. Miners are 9-3. Next Saturday, they'll be 10-3, and they'll head to January in 2025 and CUSA play with some momentum under their belt after this non-conference stretch.
Yeah, and it's going to be huge. Conference USA, so far, right, it's looking like it's going to be a gauntlet, some respectable teams. It's not going to be easy, so you want to get, you know, as much test out of it as you can, so to speak, when it comes to these games. And I don't know the damage or the momentum that's going to be built based off of that game. I think you got to carry over today into going into conference play. However, it's still to say that that's a, I don't want to say a must win, but there's no way you can definitely lose that one. Come on. So like you said, kind of just put that one to the side and just got to wait for conference play. It's really tough because that's it's over a week and a half, you know, when it comes down to it. So a lot of momentum can be lost, but a lot of good practices can be had between that time too.
Yeah, I like it, Sal. A little bit of, you know, optimism looking forward, but also realizing there's still business to be taken care of when it comes to this basketball squad. Alberto, your thoughts turning the page, you know, final thoughts on this stretch here for this basketball team and then going into next year.
Well, a great tournament there by the Miners, but, you know, looking forward, you guys were talking a lot about the start of conference play and whether or not Miner fans were going to turn up for that La Tech game or the New Mexico State game, and I kind of feel like you guys overlooked that Sam Houston game. And Sam Houston's a team that beat the Miners last team not once but twice in their first year in Conference USA. So they beat them out there at Sam Houston 60-56, and then at home on 80s night in February, they beat the Miners 65-54 at home. So I don't know. You'd think that the Miner faithful would also want to fill it up for that Sam Houston game, a Sam Houston team that beat them twice last year and then went on to win the regular season conference tournament, so the conference championship. So I don't know. I hope that people do turn up in larger numbers than they have been, but I'm not really banking on it.
Okay, taking more of a fan approach. Zay, I want you to take a football approach. Malachi Nelson has visited UTEP over the past couple weeks. The former 2023 number one overall recruit. I'm not saying in CUSA. I'm saying the number one college football recruit going into, you know, college out of high school, out of Los Alamitos. Cade McConnell. This is somebody he knew very well growing up, going to high school in Long Beach, California. Both of them went to Los Alamitos High School. You know, it was Cade McConnell who ended up being the starting quarterback for Los Al in that senior season. And then once Cade graduated, Malachi Nelson took over and became the super phenom product and prospect that he ended up you know, becoming. He never played at USC. He never played at Boise State. So this will be his third school in 3 years wherever he decides to go to this year. And he is on a visit to UTEP. We knew about this. We saw him at the Jackson State game. And we kept quiet today. Pete Thamel reported it out of ESPN, so we dropped some nuggets ourselves. But your thoughts, Zay, as we wrap up here on Minor Talk and we talk about maybe a potential top overall prospect coming to UTEP when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I mean, I've been waiting to talk about this. We've been waiting to talk about this. Yeah, he was at the game yesterday. You know, I can go on and on about Malachi Nelson, you know, how big that would be. Just from the stance that it's, you know, former number one overall player. Like, that's just crazy to fathom that he was even on campus. And, hey, he hasn't played a snap. Like, that's the big thing here is he's never played a college football snap. We have no clue, but, I mean, I just don't know. Like, this is such a crazy thing for him to be here at UTEP on a visit.
How realistic could this be?
Like, could this happen? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I feel like it could happen, right? He's at that point where, hey, you fail at USC, you fail at Boise State. Like, now it is going to be a school like UTEP. So I feel like it can be UTEP, but at the same time, it could be, you know, some FCS school, some other group of five school, maybe another Conference USA school. Like, it's going to be in this level, I feel, for a guy like him. And I feel like if UTEP can pull it off, you're going to get a lot of fans, like, on the wall type of fans. They're just going to see five-star UTEP commit, and they're not even going to care. They're going to see five-star quarterback UTEP commit. Like, they're just going to be, oh, yeah, we're all in. So I feel like that's the big thing here is that's the poster child, if you get
them. Are they worried more about the headlines, though, than the actual product and output of what Malachi Nelson could be? Because you said it. He hasn't played a single snap of football. What is he going to do? And you talk about limited NIL resources. Scotty Walden said he's going to use his NIL to retain players and to acquire players. What if you go out and acquire players, somebody like Malachi Nelson, but he doesn't pan out and he doesn't have success because he simply has not played at this level? And Zay, in year two, expectations will be higher for Walden and company in this football squad.
Yeah, I feel like that's the risk you take, right? That is, you know, you roll the dice. You really never know. You got to have full trust in your scouting and your evaluations of players. And sometimes you gotta roll the dice. Like I said, it's a quarterback. It's even more hit or miss. Like, you really never know what could happen. Like, we could be talking about Malachi Nelson falling completely on his face again at UTEP if he ends up, you know, committing here. Or we could talk about, you know, a career resurgence for him, which is crazy to say, right? I think he'll be a redshirt sophomore at this point. Like, he's a young guy. It's a risk and a role that you take. If we're talking about a three-star who's never played a down and you're giving him a lot of money, then hey, like, whoa, that's a little weird. But this is a five-star, right? You're banking on that evaluation. You're banking on that. And I feel like at UTEP, that's a risk you take.
Yeah, I mean, the last five-star prospect UTEP had was like in the Mike Price era, so when it came to football. But I think that's a good way to wrap up here on the program today. Special thanks to Sal Montes, to Alberto Retta, to you, Zay Galindo, and all our listeners out there. Merry Christmas, happy holidays to everybody out there who's listening to us here on Minor Talk and part of our Sports Talk and 600 ESPN El Paso family here at Town Square Media El Paso. We really appreciate everybody. We'll be back in action next Saturday. UTEP, Northern New Mexico in action out at the Don Haskins Center. But if you miss any of Minor Talk tonight, check us out on demand wherever you listen to podcasts. For all of us here at our River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studio, we're signing off, and thanks for everybody for listing to Minor Talk, brought to you by Jack in the Box, right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.